Let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is just to orient us to why we're here. So let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this assembly, the opportunity to come together and to worship you with other believers who are like-minded. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, even though there's just a few of us, let's stand and sing hymn number 63. I stand amazed in the presence. All together now, let's make a noise. I stand amazed in the presence. Very good. Okay. The offering that we took for the Rieslings, we took in just under $3,000. So that'll pay for the most of all of the van. And I don't know what Dan's church or John's church came up with, but that should be enough for the repairs. And so we'll get that to them, and they can get that taken care of. Let's see, in regard to prayer. Okay, let's see. Edna had her surgery Thursday, and at first it was very painful when she got out. The operation went okay, but she's doing better now. Doing good. And they'll move her to a rehab place tomorrow. Okay, that'll be good. So just continue to pray for her rehabilitation and recovery. And we need to continue to be in prayer for Nathan as things are working out for him going into the military. Need to, Terry, who's back with the children, we've been in prayer for her mother. And Hazel's doing much better. So just continue to pray for continual recovery. We need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight cancer. Need to be in prayer for Amber. And let's see, Nancy Becker, she continues to work through pain in her body. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
For my brother Steve.
Steve?
He has staph infection.
Okay. That can be very painful. So we need to be in prayer for Steve. Recovery of his body. Yes?
My cousin Darcy is going to start working with returning wounded soldiers.
Do what now?
My cousin.
Yeah?
The wounded soldiers that come back into Travis Air Force Base, she's going to be working in the hospital there.
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll be in prayer. Wow, very good. Fort Travis is, where is that?
Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking it was more Southern California. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
For our youth, we have, I think it's 10 kids now going to camp.
Do what?
We have 10 kids going to camp in our church.
Yes.
Really?
All right. That is very good. We're going to send them a crew. All right, that'll be good. John was supposed to go and speak, and of course I'll be speaking, and then Grady, but John isn't going to be able to go. And just be in prayer for John, his physical health and strength each day, and Judy. They need our prayers. I'll be in the first week of June. We will not have class on Tuesday and Wednesday the first week. I'll be speaking in Tucson and then come back and go to Tulsa for the camp. So during that week. So June's going to be kind of a busy month. And but we need to be in prayer for the safety of the children getting there, safety of them there, but spiritual. The spiritual impact of the camp and it will have on these young children. So that'll be good. Bill, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good to see you. Always is, Bill. Mm-hmm. All right. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but that's just the offerings for them. But the offering is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit. Paul says, if I give all to the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So, spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit. So, it's for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit and is in the Spirit in regard to giving. So, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in America, the freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. And we are most appreciative for our military personnel throughout all this nation's history, right up to this very hour, where many are in harm's way. But Father, we cross that with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political freedom. What to do with our lives and our time and our money. Where to go to church and why. Where to live and why. So Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. And that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, let's stand and sing hymn number 208, Like a River Glorious. Hymn number 208. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer, to test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit. He is the teacher. And we have some physical results of suppressing the being of God, things that are pertinent to what's going on in our own country today. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in the passage that is before us. Your Spirit, Heavenly Father, some 2,000 years ago, led and inspired Paul in the writing of these words. And then your Spirit has preserved these words through history. But Heavenly Father, we are now personally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear, to be warned and to understand these things, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We have three deliveries by God in the closing of this chapter. The first delivery is a delivery to the lust in their hearts, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over. There's the first delivery to the lust in their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now the second delivery is to degrading passions, verses 26 and 27. I want to cover them both this morning. 26, for this reason God gave them over, there's a second giving over, to degrading passions, for even their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, out of design. And in the same way, also, the men abandon the natural function of the woman. Now, note how Paul words this. He says the women exchange the natural function of their own bodies. But the men, note the first thing he says, the men abandon the natural function of the woman. He didn't just say they abandoned their own. They left their own function. They abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, in case you didn't get it, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. Our bodies are the most valued possession, really, of life itself. And how we treat our bodies reflects a thinking about ourselves. Our souls, our thinking. How we treat our bodies reflects our thinking. Some people worship the human body. They absolutely just worship the human body. The body's not saved. This body is not saved. It will go into the ground, dust to dust. It's the soul that is saved. But the human body carries our soul. And it's a way that God can get our attention. Satan can get our attention. And God can do it by health, illness, these kind of things. Satan can do the same thing. Can do it by blessing, beauty. And so it becomes the most personal part of our being alive. And some people put even adverse care on their bodies, spending unbelievable amount of time and money on the care of their body. And other people care very little about their body. But our text deals with abuse or perversion and use of the human body. And perversion and abuse of the body has a broad spectrum, from flagellation of the body, self-degradation of the body, inflict pain on your own body, do penance for some personal sin or something you think you've done against God. So there are people through history that punish their own body. They put pain on their own body. All the way from that to tattooing or marking up the body, taking of drugs and alcohol to use the body to affect the mind, to pleasure to the point of actually harming of the body, to perversion. And that takes us to our study of what we're dealing with. Now, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Now, for this reason, comes from verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God, that God is, that God exists, for the lie that God does not exist, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. God gave them over. Second delivery is over to sexual perversion. For this reason, what God is going to do is a response to their decision to deny His existence and worship the creature rather than the Creator. Okay. For this reason, or because of this, they exchange the truth for the lie. Now, let me say a few things right now, and I'll come back to it in a few minutes. There are Christians who are lesbians and homosexuals. This context deals with the non-believer. I will comment on the believer. But even the believer, when they do this practice, this perversion of the body, they have denied the truth about God, not His existence. They do believe in His existence. But they have denied the truth of God as the designer and what God has done. So I just want to make that clear. But in context, these exchange the truth of the being of God for the lie. And all that they conclude is a lie. When you start off with the premise that's distorted about God, what you're going to come up with is going to be erroneous. They will lie about the human body. In context, the people who suppress and deny the being of God. But again, even the believer has a faulty view of God, and they will deny and lie about the human body. The God, that is, and I just put it on the board for you, the whole theos, this is the definite article. Let me get my pointer here. Excuse me. We'll be doing some things in here, so I want to have it. Well, I don't know what I did with my pointer. Okay, but the old thing in front of theos, whole theos, that's a definite article. Theos, T-H-E-O-S, the God, specifying the one true God. Okay, the God gave them over. All right. This is the Greek word, and I just put it on the board, paradidomi, P-A-R-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. This compound means more than just to give. Didomi means to give. We put it in a compound. Prepositional prefix, the para there at the beginning, to the side of, or over to. Didomi, to give. To give or deliver over, or deliver up to the power of someone. Here it's going to be to their own flesh, to their own body's desires. God will deliver them over to their degrading passions. Their degrading passions that they have. Now, people, God responds to our decisions concerning Him. God responds to this. The aorist tense of this verb is used to denote the process in its entirety of going from denying the being of God, lying about the human body, rebelling against God, and then going into the passions that all I have to do is satisfy myself. The active voice, God is the one doing this. God is the one turning them over, delivering them over. And remember now, this is from the grace of God and the love of God. It's His desire that these people come to Him. Yes, even though they have denied His being, people, this is a God that sent His Son to the cross. This is a God who did all that He can. He's not going to turn at this point away. As long as they're alive, God still desires their salvation. They have reached that point where it has to be a drastic move by God. Maybe they will wake up. Maybe they will see, like the prodigal son themselves, in the hog pen, eating with the pigs, that it may click. And this is why, this is the only thing that he's left to do. The indicative mood is the declaration of the reality of what happens in this long process. So here is the grace of God. This isn't, I know most preachers, I'll line you up a lot of preachers, oh, this is God getting them and damning them. And all. That's not the God I see. There's only one thing left, and that's just to let them go to that end degree, like the prodigal son, and maybe then they'll respond to the truth. God will not violate man's will, his volition, and force him to do something he doesn't want to do. But he's going to try to set up the circumstances where they might respond to him. Now, your attitude toward God affects your daily life. It affects your morality. This is what we're going to see, that our attitude toward God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, affects every part of our being. For this reason, God gave them, that is, those who have rejected God, the gospel, and the truth for the lie, over to degrading passions. The Greek word for passions is pathos. It's an English word in the English dictionary, pathos. And the word means to originally carry the idea of suffering. That's what he generally gets, what he carried first of all was the ideal of suffering, the ideal to experience or endure an emotion that caused suffering. That's what the word, how the word is derived as historically. It came to be used to describe overwhelming passion or lust. So you see how the word is developed? It's not used in a good sense. In fact, the word is used only three times in the New Testament. Colossians 3:5, 1 Thessalonians 4:5, and here in Romans 1:26. And in all three, with a negative connotation. Emotions are not bad, but pathos is a passion that just takes over. It's a passion that just consumes the person. Now, to compound the condition of these people, these already overwhelming passions that cause suffering are further described. Let's take a look. Degrading. The passions themselves are overwhelming and negative, but they're even further defined for us as degrading. Atama means without honor. Dishonor. Disgrace. Shameful. Now, I'll summarize some of this, but we live in a time where even churches under the Christian umbrella condone homosexuality, ordain pastors, ministers, people, homosexual, lesbians. But people, let's make no doubt about it. The Bible is very clear. It's a sin. But not only is it a sin, it's dishonor. It's disgraceful. It's shameful. It's an abomination. And we'll take a look at all of that when we go through some of this. Shameful, dishonorable passions, or if you want to just simplify it, passions of dishonor. Not just sin, but disgrace. Therefore, as we will see, while homosexuality and lesbianism are sins, they do much more harm to the soul. They affect the soul in a horrible way, in a degrading way. So, passion of dishonor, compounded again by the plural, passions. These passions are bad in themselves enough, but they are degrading, and in the plural, there are other things other than what is just being talked about in our passage. Rarely do these passions affect just one area of life. Once the gate is open in the soul, these passions are insatiable. And the extent of it is going to be seen in the way that they deal with the body, but it involves much more distortion. Now, we're getting ready to launch into sins which are abnormal, perversion from natural design. There are normal sins, and there are abnormal sins. I still think it's disgusting that we even have to know this word and know this act. But it's a fact, and we have to deal with it. Now, what I want to do is take a brief look at sexual activity. Just a very brief look at sexual activity. No, there's going to be no pictures. All right. First of all, legitimate sex. Legitimate sex. This is sex involved in a marriage between a man and a woman. See, I can't just say marriage anymore because of the time in which we live, where our various judicial systems are recognizing same-sex marriages. But legitimate sex before God involves sex involved in a marriage between a man and a woman. Two, then there is illegitimate yet normal sex, noted as fornication. It's legitimate, but it's still a sin. This is sex between a man and a woman, and this is sin. And for the record, in both of these categories of sex, and especially in the regard to the legitimate sex, anything goes which both agree. Now, third, there is abnormal or perverted sex. This includes everything from incest, homosexuality, lesbianism, transversism, to bestiality. These are sins, but they are perverted sins. These are sins, but they are perversion. Any questions? And by the way, on that last one, going on the society we live in, I should have included it involved with children. But all of these types of perversions are sin, but they are perversions. Now, Paul mentions the women and men separately. Perversion of the women. For, this is a conjunction that introduces the passion of dishonor, their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. Now, there is a conjunction that is not translated in the New American Standard. I don't know why. In the King James and the NIV, it's there. If you have the King James or NIV, it's there. If you have the New American Standard, it's not there. And that is the conjunction translated even, for even their women. Now, why does he put that in there? Even their women. Historically, women are less likely, or at least slower, to give in to these perverted passions. But these have suppressed God. These women have suppressed God, and have exchanged the truth about God and accepted the lie. Therefore, their souls are directly affected by accepting the lie. Ladies must walk very close to the Lord. Walk in the power of the Spirit. The attack on the woman throughout all history, and boy, is it going to be rough in the tribulation period, is astounding. And it's just so important that a woman walk very close with the Lord, especially as society, as the whole society becomes more perverted, more distorted in truth, more distorted in the makeup of a marriage and a family. It is so imperative that a woman walk in the Lord. That's why parents should just teach their boys and girls, but their little girls, how important it is to walk in the power of the Spirit. Now the question arises, Why does Paul mention the woman first? Well, women are responders. Women are responders. They respond to men and to what pleases a man. They respond to their decisions concerning the Lord. They respond to what happens in life. So we have the phrase, for this reason, in our verse, for this reason, beginning of verse. People, I don't want you to forget the process, the flow, the cause, and the effect. How do people get there? How do they get to this perverted state? What happens that affects their life decisions in regard even to sexual relationship with each other? Well, first of all, they suppress the being of God. They knew God and they denied Him. They became futile in their speculations, received a darkened soul. So they reject the being of God. Something starts happening in their soul. They claim to be wise and become fools, exchange the incorruptible God for an image. Therefore, God gave them over to their own lust, for they exchanged the truth of God's being for the lie. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. This is the process of how we get into a society of these perversions. Okay. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For even their women exchange. Okay. It's the aorist active indicative of the same verb in verse 25. Metalasso. And metalasso. And here it means to exchange something natural for something abnormal. To exchange the natural use of sex with a man for abnormal sexual perversion, sex with a woman. And this is very simply what's going on in this passage. The active voice. The active voice. People, it's their choice. This is a choice. I'll talk about our society that says it's not. It is a choice. The active voice here, the context refers to those women who are unbelievers, who have said no to the being of God in the gospel. But let's make it clear that women who are believers also become lesbians. Women who are believers turn against the order of God, of what is natural, turn against God, what God says in His Word, and become lesbians. This is just the cold, hard facts of life. But I want you to understand, they do not lose their salvation. They do not lose their salvation. They're saved. Period. What we do after you're saved, people, does not nullify what happened at the cross. And there are preachers who preach it. If you get involved and practice homosexuality and lesbianism, that you lose your salvation. People, you did nothing to gain it. You knew nothing to lose it. You are saved forever. So let's make that very clear. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, this abnormality can be cured. It can be cured. Now, the problem in our society, it doesn't need to be cured. It's not wrong. But when you become oriented to God, you realize that it is wrong. It is abnormal. It is a perversion. And there is hope. It can be cured. The indicative mood is the reality of the perversion when we abandon walking with the Lord. Okay. For even their women exchange the natural function, the natural use. This is the adjective of pseudikos. It means nature. Natural things. Creatures act naturally according to their design, function according to its nature, inherent to an object. A car does not fly, a boat doesn't cruise down the road. This is the word natural. Natural by its design, natural in its function. So they exchanged the natural function sexually. This is sexual function. They wouldn't pour Clorox down their throat. that would be against natural function of the makeup of our body. The body's not designed for gasoline. You put that in your car. So when it's talking here about how they exchange the natural function of their body sexually. So this is what we're dealing with. They exchange the natural function. The Greek word, krisis, it means to use or to function, the manner of using something. They exchange the natural function, the natural use, the way the woman's body is designed. I think we understand what Paul is saying. They exchange the natural functions for that which is unnatural. To use against nature, against its natural design. This is what he's talking about in this passage. Okay? The use that is against nature or the natural design is lesbianism. That's what is being talked about here. The woman's body is not fit naturally with another woman's body. The term lesbian is derived from the island of Lesbos, the Aegean Sea. This was the home of the famous lyric poet Sappho, famous for forming a society of females involved in female homosexuality in B.C. So the word lesbian comes from the island of Lesbos, where this was greatly practiced. And the island became famous for lesbianism, and thus the word has come to us. In contrast with perversion among women, is another word used for perversion among men, homosexuality, which is coming up in the next verse. Technically, homosexuality can be used of both men and women, but we use it to distinguish between the male and lesbianism for the female. For this reason, the God gave them over to degrading, dishonorable passions, or passions of dishonor, sexual perversion, for even their women exchanged the natural use of their bodies for that which is unnatural. Natural, the difference in woman and the difference it makes. Okay, let's take up a few points. One, sex was intended by God as an expression of love. God designed sex. It's not dirty. It's not nasty. It's not sinful in itself. God designed it. God designed the body of the woman, the body of the male, for each other, to fit each other, by natural design, not for another woman's body or a man for another man's body. God designed the man first in the garden, knowing full well he's going to design a woman's body that would correspond to that body. So this is God's wonderful design. Three, this is the natural function in the difference in woman, and the difference it makes that a woman's body was not designed for a woman, but for a man. It is beautiful in its fulfillment. It's beautiful in its natural design, what God has done. It's not something terrible. Not something dirty. Neil Simon did a movie, The Goodbye Girl. And in the movie, Richard Dreyfuss was sitting in the living room early in the morning, just kind of meditating and thinking through, getting ready for the day, playing his guitar. And I forgot the lady's name, but she knocks on the door. She said, "Can I come in?" And he says, "Yes." She says, "Are you decent?" And he said, "Yes." She came in and she goes, I thought you said you were decent. You don't have any clothes on." And he said, "The human body is not indecent. I am decent. I'm in the human body." And that isn't what she meant, though. But the body by God's design. is not something bad. It's designed in its perfect in its beauty for each other. Now, point four. There are so many reasons why women become lesbians. According to those who keep records on such things, many females become lesbians due to abuse in their childhood by some man or men, including their own fathers, which is just an abomination in itself. Not only is it incest, it's just an abomination. Another experience that drives women away from the natural use of their bodies is horrible experience with men, maybe a husband, divorced, who abused her or neglected her body. And so she developed a hatred of men and turned to other women. Another drive is totally rebellious against society, against their parents, against authority in school, against all that is right and natural. So this is her way of rebelling back against society, is to turn to lesbianism. So there are many reasons why a woman reaches the point of finding men repulsive. But this is no excuse for lesbianism. Five, but God has designed the human body, male and female, for honorable passion. A relationship in which both the mind and the body are coordinated toward each other, members of the opposite sex. Sex is an honorable passion between one man and one woman. Six, while sexual relationship between one man and one woman is in marriage, where anything goes that both are in agreement, is honorable. But sex between two women is totally dishonorable and is depraved and drastically affects the soul. Drastically affects the soul. But it is curable. It is curable. Now, not by modern day psychologists and psychiatrists and people, social workers, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is curable. Now, in the next verse, Paul speaks of the perversion in men, homosexuality. Verse 27, and in the same way, comparing, also the men abandon the natural function of the woman and burn in their desire toward each other, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. Okay. In the same manner, the males abandon. Now, this is the aorist active participle of aphiemi, to stand forth or away, let go from oneself, to leave or to abandon. They abandon the natural function of the woman. And to me, this is just so interesting how Paul words it in dealing with the man. One might have expected Paul to say, man degraded his own body. Man abandoned the natural function of their own bodies. That would have been, well, I would have expected this to read when you're reading it, even in English, because of the previous verse. The woman abandoned her natural use of her body. But isn't it interesting? Paul says, no, they abandoned the natural function of the woman. This is very interesting in regard to how he words this in regard to the man. The difference in woman and the difference it makes. God designed the bodies of male and female to enjoy sexual fulfillment with each other. Now let's take a look at what he does. In the same manner, the males abandon. Okay, people, we got that active voice. Volitional choice. The man makes a decision. This is a decision, a volitional decision. Our society is moving into degeneracy on the broad scale, and so it tries to redefine so many things in history. strong movement in our society to condone homosexuality and lesbianism by saying that these people are born this way. They can't help it. This is natural for them. Therefore, it's not wrong. And they have not made a decision to be homosexual. They've not made a decision to be alcoholics. That's a disease. But people, the Bible is very clear. This is a choice. This is a choice. And like all sin, homosexuality is a choice. Even if there were something from within, it's still a choice. People stealing is a sin. Oh, but what about the kleptomaniac? Well, since he can't help it, let's just make that. Let's everybody go out and steal. No, people, a sin is a sin. So the active voice makes it clear that these men and women make a volitional decision from their souls. Again, I emphasize this point, homosexuality is curable. It is curable. Like any sin that can be cured, there is hope. There is hope. So homosexuality and lesbianism are curable. Contrary to modern thinking in our society, contrary to modern psychology, psychiatry, and so, since it is not curable or even needs to be cured, it is encouraged in our society today. It is encouraged in our young people. And like a cancer that grows through the body, this cancer is growing in our country. And the whole thought process permeates into so many other areas, as we'll see. So the aorist active here is used to show that this perversion is by choice. I want you to notice something else. Notice that this perversion, they reject what is normal. That's very important. The man rejects what is normal. He looks at the woman and her body and says, no, that's not designed for me. He rejects what is normal. They abandon what is natural, the design of the woman's body. Their thinking is affected by perversion. Their thinking is now perverted. And while this is clearly seen in sexual relationships, this perverted thinking flows over into many other areas of thought, not just that one. Like morality, their whole view of morality. Well, it's not wrong. It's okay. It's okay with God. It's okay in society. Perverted in their thought of the family, same-sex family. Right and wrong. What's right? What's wrong? The whole thought process begins to be perverted, people. It's affected. And of course, they move into judicial realm. This is, we're seeing more and more of this. And so, they become judicial in our system, becoming lawyers and judges, making the decisions, and more, taking over the judicial system. And as we have seen, people, Satan is not going to take this country down by the commies come rolling in with tanks. It's going to be from within. It's going to use our own legal system to bring this nation down. And it's doing it. It's doing it from within. The law kills. The law kills. And so it is no surprise, should be no surprise to any of us, that more and more legal decisions are being made to change this country, to change the family and what defines a family, morality, right, wrong. And it's going to be by our own system. And therefore, people, we, what you and I have to do, as more and more of these decisions are made, just as last week made in California, as more and more decisions are made in this realm, we may tend to get all worked up, aggravated, upset in our souls. People understand the most important page in any history book is a table of content. And if you look at the table of content, especially in world history books, what do you see? Nation after nation. The rise and fall of nation. Then the rise and fall of another nation. People, there's nothing that says America's going to be here forever. In fact, it didn't last very long, and it's already begun a major change, major shift, legally, inside. We're making a decision to destroy this nation. And you and I just have the unfortunate realm of being here at this time, or really the fortunate realm in having the gospel answer. We have the gospel answer. But we live at a time when we're seeing the pages of darkness over this country, and it's going to be from within. They can't bother us militarily. They can't strike us militarily, but they can legally, judicially, morally, and just destroy this country. So, there are many reasons why males become homosexuals, just as there are many reasons why females become homosexuals. In their journey, their thinking, in so many ways, affected adversely. Some cases begin with, as boys, reaction to their mother, from a mother who is cruel, to obsession of a mother, sexually abused as a boy by some male father, some other male, or as they get older, they become frightened of girls and women. Many men are just frightened. Women's liberation has frightened a lot of men. Women are stronger and are more aggressive and all these things, and many men can't handle that. So there's just a lot of things in their soul physically that cause them to do this. They've been hurt by a woman. Whatever the reason, they made a decision to abandon the natural function of the woman and turn to males. Okay. Question. Why have these men abandoned the natural function of the woman's body? Why have they done that? Okay, let's take a look. To burn in their desire toward one another. Okay, this is what they've done. These men have made a decision. The word to burn here, very quickly. To burn is the aorist passive indicative of kakaio, and it means to burn, to light, to set a fire to, and contextually, it means sexually. Contextually, it means sexually. So they have decided to turn to the woman, or turn away from a woman. All right? To burn with lust, physical, sexual lust. Burn in their desire. The word for the desire, epithymia, to desire greatly, or a strong desire, a longing, which may be good or bad. The word is also used in a good sense in the New Testament. Burned in their desire towards one another, sexual desires toward another male. Men with men sexually, a totally revolting thought, but again, one that is reality. And as I said, I just... so sorry that we even have to know that word and have that word, but it is a reality. Now, committing indecent acts, let's get here, committing indecent acts are shameful acts. The word committing is an interesting word. It's a present middle participle of katargozomai, which means to work out. Ergamai means to work. It means to work out. It means to bring about your plan. To carry out their perversion. See, it's a choice. They have this strong desire, and they're going to work it out now. They're going to have it become a reality. To get involved with other men. The present tense means to, they now put it into action. First of all, it's in their thought process. That comes from the word committing. It means to carry out. And now it goes into the physical activity. The perverted desire in their soul becomes a perverted act in their life. So the active voice emphasizes the fact that this perversion is a volitional decision. It's not something that they don't have control over. It's a volitional decision. Burned in their desire toward one another, carrying out their desire. These indecent acts, okay? Indecent acts, uncomely, indecent, obscenity, shameful, perverted acts. All those are right out of the lexicon in dealing with the understanding of the word, okay? And receiving in their own persons the due penalty of the error of their perversion. Okay, and receiving. There's our word, present active participle, apolambano, means to receive in their own person the due penalty. Okay? The word here is, the due penalty is recompense. Antamisthia means anti to return, misthos, it means a reward. Put it together, it means a recompense. Of their own error or perversion. Plane, wandering from the truth. What's an error? What's a perversion? It's a wandering from the truth. A delusion. A perversion. A distortion of the truth. So this is what they have done in their thought process. Now, our passage reads, for this reason, I don't think I have this on here. Yes. For this reason, the God gave them over to degrading passions, for even the women exchanged the natural functions of the body for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned sexually in their desire toward one another, other males. Men with men sexually, committing or carrying out indecent acts and receiving recompense for their perversion. All right, let's summarize. Point one. Homosexuality and lesbianism are sins. Clear. Yet there are many religious denominations under the Christian umbrella that claim in direct opposition to the Bible that these are not sins, and not only condone homosexuality and lesbianism, but ordain them as ministers. That's what's going on in our society. But you know, people, as clear as the Bible is on how homosexuality and lesbianism are not only a sin, but an abomination, there's something far worse. And I'm not surprised churches are doing that. Because look what they've done to the gospel. It's very clear that the gospel is by faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone. Yet how many denominations teach that you've got to do something to be saved? You've got to be in some kind of a ritual. You've got to change your life. You've got to join the church. You've got to invite him in your heart. You've got to make him Lord. You've got to do something. And people, that is far more destructive than condoning homosexuality or lesbianism. So, as I wonder at their use of the Bible in condoning homosexuality, people, look what they've done to the gospel. That's far more destructive. Take away from a person the way to enter into the kingdom of God. They have perverted the truth of the gospel. Okay, point four. Perversion has a deeper impact on the soul than the normal sin. Sin is a rebellion against God. But perversion is disregard for God and God's design. The way God has designed something. We may sin and say, I know that's a sin. And we deal with it by getting back into faith. Getting back into the Spirit by faith. But homosexuality, not only are you not denying that it's a sin, it's a perversion against God's total design. Five. There are three major enemies to natural design of the human body. Three major enemies to our bodies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We've already noted the problems related to our flesh. It is continually being corrupted. People, your body is continually being corrupted. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years. I don't care if, let's just say you've walked in the Holy Spirit 10 of those years. Your body, your flesh is more corrupt than it was when you believed in Christ. It is deceitful above all else. You can deceive yourself that the sins are not sins. It is incurably sick. So that the body would get involved in these things is not a shock. It is evil. It's insane. And insane means not in the realm of reality. So it stands to reason. Somebody under control of the flesh would think that man's body is designed for a man. That's insane. It's against the structure, the design. But remember, the flesh is insane. All of which kick in perversion. The world and Satan, as we have noted, Satan is using the judicial system, the world, to take this country down. More and more perverted thinking, people going into the judicial system as lawyers and judges, making more and more judicial decisions to tear down the moral structure of the society. And they're getting more and more of them. The time is drawing near when anyone who holds the moral structure of this country will be noted as enemies. The progressive thought of modern America and enemies of the progressive thought, and as enemies must be dealt with as enemies. People, in Germany, there was a pastor teaching, I believe it was Frankfurt, Germany, on Romans 1, homosexuality. And the police came in and closed it down. Told him he can't teach against homosexuality. Same thing happened in Canada. You're going to become the enemy just because you believe in moral structure. It almost reaches the point where you want to laugh if it wasn't that it's true. They're trying to change and take out the word mother and father. Our children's educational system. Take out the word mother, father. Don't use those words. Change the whole structure. It's happening right before us. And if you and I teach our children, just teach them moral structure, you're going to become the enemy of the state. So you might as well be aware of it. These things are headed in this direction in this country. This is how far we have come in this country. Point six. The Bible is very definite in its prohibition against homosexuality and lesbianism. It prohibits all sins, of course, but there is specific condemnation of these perversions of God's design of the human body. Homosexuality and lesbianism are totally against God's order, God's design, and the fundamental human relationships. Leviticus chapter 18:22 says it straight. You shall not have sex with a male as those who have sex with a female. Then he adds, it is an abomination. It's just clear. And yet we have churches and denominations and people. Oh no, the Bible isn't against it. People, it's very clear. This word refers to that which is morally disgusting. The word abomination refers to that which is morally disgusting. Something that perverts the purpose or design of God. Something that pollutes other parts of the human soul. Parts of human life. Due to its effect on the soul and on society, this is far worse than normal or natural sins. In his damage to the soul. It's an abomination. 7. Homosexuality and lesbianism is associated with the fall of great empire, nations and empires throughout history. The Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, Athens, Corinth, the recovery of Rome, the artwork on Roman walls and buildings and homes, like in Pompeii and other places. And I visited Pompeii. They had little boxes built around things, and they would only open it up for adults. Only then if you wanted to. And they were just, it was, and these are just on, right, these are not inside, some of these were on the street. Unbelievable artwork dealing with this perversion. And so Rome followed Greece, and this goes all the way back to such societies as Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally, 8, homosexuality and lesbianism receives recompense. How does that happen? How does the recompense happen? Through irrationality, neurosis, fears, and abnormal or distorted affection or love. So this is, has its natural recompense to the person. These people become neurotic or psychotic and have a great drive to dominate and control all society. Not because society harasses them, but because they are receiving recompense for the distortion of the ability to think within the realm of natural design. So these are just some of the thoughts dealing with what's going on. Now in verse 28, the third giving over to God, and we'll take care of that next Sunday and hopefully finish chapter 1. Any questions? Any questions at all on the study? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're not responsible for imposing by law our Christian values. We are responsible to live them ourselves and to give the world the gospel. We have nothing to offer but Christ crucified. We live, Heavenly Father, in this country in some trying times. Darkness is overshadowing this great country. But all that we have, the light that we have, is the gospel. Not to damn these people, but to offer them the truth. That Christ came and died for them and rose again that they may have everlasting life. Pray, Father, you take these things, let them bear fruit in our souls. Let's be aware of your design in life and how urgent it is that we walk in the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.